We're going to speak today about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you'll turn with me in our Bibles to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Most of us are very aware of how they crucified Jesus. Last week we spoke upon that, how that he was crucified, he died for our sins. And today we're going to talk about the resurrection of Christ. Praise the Lord. We're going to be looking in 27th chapter and go to verse 45. Verse 45. Now, this is when Jesus was still hanging on the cross right here. So we're going to stop a moment. We're going to ask the Lord to bless this word to our hearts right now as we think about the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy to us. Oh, Father, that you gave your Son to die for us. Oh, how thankful we are. How precious it is. And Lord Jesus, we are so praising you for giving your life for us that we might be redeemed, might be saved. And I just pray right now that you will bless this word to our hearts. In Jesus' holy name, glory to God. So last week, and most of you have known for all of your life practically, like I know I have, that Jesus died on the cross for us and gave his life there. And while he was there on the cross, if you look there at chapter 27 of Matthew, verse 45, it says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land and to the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried aloud with a voice, loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now this, at three o'clock, there are 3 hours there that are this time that it's talking about. And darkness came on at that time, which was just 3 o'clock, It was noontime. It was noontime when Jesus was hanging on the cross. And suddenly there was darkness. Why was that? Because Jesus Christ was carrying the sin of all the world upon his shoulders. He was carrying the sin. He was paying the price. And God the Father turned his back. And when that happened, darkness came upon the whole world. And it's wonderful, isn't it? Just think about what Jesus did in verse 46. About the ninth hour, he cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." And that's the Hebrew. And that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, praise the Lord that the Lord God, our Father God, had this great plan. The Son, of course, fully into it, that the plan would be made, that Jesus Christ would give his life for us. It does make us cry. If we don't cry a little bit, I think there's something a little bit wrong with this, because I tell you what, this is a marvelous thing that Jesus did. Giving up his place with the Father, he's part of the Trinity. And he gave up his life to become a human babe that would grow up to be able to die. And he died for our sins. Oh my goodness. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him." It had to be. This was how it had to be, that the sin of the world would be paid for, that Jesus Christ would pay for that sin. Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. So let's go ahead to verse 51. "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain." Praise the Lord. Let's look at verse 50. We need to go back to verse 50. "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." In other words, he just gave up his own life. He gave up his life. He said, remember in another text it says, he said, it is finished. He's not talking about his life. He's talking about all the work of our salvation, of redemption, was finished. And so he gave up his life. He yielded his life. Then verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. God allowed this to happen. It was like the creation itself, just darkness, and then all of a sudden just starts shaking. There was a great earthquake because the Son of God was dying. He died. He literally died. And the veil of the temple, remember that in the Old Testament, the veil that was in the tabernacle, not anybody could go through that veil except the high priest. And in this big temple that they had there in Jerusalem, the only one that could go into that inner place there, they didn't have the Ark of the Covenant anyway. It was gone. But they'd go in there. And they would go into that, and if they were separated then from the others. No other people could go in there except the high priest. But God says, enough, and he just tears the veil completely off. Just breaks down the way that you and I can just go right into the presence of God. We don't have to say, well, I'm not Jewish, or I'm not a rabbi, or I'm not the leader. I can't do it. We can go right into the presence of God because the Lord has broken down that veil between us and that. Praise the Lord. Verse 52, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And I believe that these were Old Testament people who had been buried long before, and they rise from the dead when Jesus Christ dies. And they come out of the graves after his resurrection. Now they come out after his resurrection, it plainly says. And they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So Jesus Christ rose from the grave, and these from the Old Testament rose, many of them rose. It doesn't say they all did, but it says that the graves were open and many of the bodies of the dead. Makes you wonder who they were. Maybe it was Abraham. Maybe it was King David. Who knows? But there were those that were risen from the dead. Glory to God. Jesus said, let's look back in our Bibles to Matthew, the 20th chapter. I want to just note that what Jesus had told them already before he ever went to be crucified. Chapter 20, verse 17. He had warned them that he would be betrayed. And Jesus going up to Jerusalem, this is verse 17 of chapter 20 of Matthew. Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. So Jesus said this to them and told this to them before it ever happened. He told them. It's recorded also in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 32 through 34. And then also it's told again in the book of Luke, 18th chapter of Luke, 31 through 34. Those are the places that it's recorded that before he came and was crucified, he told them that he would be crucified and that he would rise again. They had a hard time believing that, but we know that many of them did believe after the resurrection. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, remember that they had, Jesus and his disciples had this Last Supper. That was to celebrate the Passover. The Passover. The Passover was such a wonderful thing in the Old Testament where they would, the very first was in Egypt when they were getting ready to go out of Egypt. The Lord told them, we're going to have a Passover. And the Passover meant that they put blood on their doorposts, and then Egypt, when the terrible, terrible horrible disease came through and started, the dark angel came and killed the firstborn children, the Israelites were kept by the power of God because they had the blood on the doorposts. And so that Passover feast, Jesus ate that with his disciples the Wednesday night before he was crucified. See, he was saying to them spiritually, this Passover feast is like what I'm going to do. I'm going to be that lamb that is slain and is going to give my life. It's precious to think of him as how he let them know these things. Praise the Lord. And it was also the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You know what leaven does in bread? It puffs it up. It makes it rise. Jesus, there's this Feast of Unleavened Bread. When they came there for the Passover, they ate bread that had no leaven in it. It's sort of like, and is like this that we're going to take today as our communion service. This is unleavened. It doesn't rise. It's like crackers. See? And so that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had no sin, nothing in him that would puff him up or make him feel, you know, start being carnal. He was spiritual. He was a spiritual being. And even though he was human, he gave his life for the ransom of many. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Hallelujah. I'm kind of skipping a little because we are kind of short of time this morning with the extra singing. But in John 66, the sixth chapter, verse 32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. And then they said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Can you say that this morning? Jesus Christ was the bread. He was the bread. He's the bread represented by this bread that we eat. This cracker is representing Christ, who was pure, who had no sin. That's why there's no puffed upness in this bread, because sin puffs up. Sin is vile. And so Jesus says, there is no puffed upness in me. I am pure and holy and the pure sacrifice. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. I'm going to look at just a few verses of what this scripture says here. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I'm going to be reading with the first verse of the chapter. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, for which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. That's why he died. He died to pay the debt that we owed, as one of the songs says. Praise the Lord. And that he was buried, and that he rose the third day according to the scriptures. He rose up from that grave. A lot of people worship the Lord as if he's still dead. But our God is not dead. Jesus Christ is alive, saints of God. He hears our prayers. He is our great intercessor at the right hand of God. When we have needs, do you think what he's doing? He's praying for us. He's talking to Father God about us. He's interceding for us. Hallelujah. What a thing. What a blessing. Oh, I praise the Lord for that. Glory to God. In 1 Peter 1:3, it says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope. Praise the Lord. A lively hope in Christ. Praise the Lord. By the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. Praise God. The resurrection of Christ is what brought about our salvation. If he had only died, just like a human being, not anything at all, but he was raised from the grave and was born. He was again brought forth, hallelujah, to be our Savior, living the living Lord. Hallelujah. And then it goes ahead there in this chapter 15, talking about the people who saw him. And many of the, all of the apostles saw him. And then notice what Paul says in verse 8. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. Yes, Apostle Paul wasn't Apostle Paul then. He was going forth to kill the Christians in Damascus. And he gets over there and on the way, and suddenly a bright light shines from heaven and he's knocked off down on the ground. And the first, we read that in chapter 9 of the book of Acts. And he said, Lord, he recognized it was the Lord, didn't he? He was born again. He was born out of due time. In other words, a lot of other people have been already saved. Here he was dragging his feet, trying to kill the Christians. Yes. So in John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. And so over and over, Jesus is spoken of as the bread. And this, I may have read this a while ago, but John 6:32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say, those two words, verily, means it's trustworthy. I am telling you the truth. Verily, verily. I say to you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth his life for the world. Praise the Lord. We did read that a while ago. In John 6:48, I am the bread that came down from heaven. He really stresses that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. I'm going to go ahead and finish here quickly. But let's look in verse 42 of this same chapter here where we are. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He talks about, before this, that there are different glories of the sun and the moon and the stars, so that in heaven there's going to be these different glories. In verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, and it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, but the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. And Jesus, see, he died a human. He died a human death, but he rose a spiritual death. He rose up from the grave. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have so many other notes. I think I might have to speak on them at another time, maybe next week. But because Christ rose from the dead, he is at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. He is busy. I said that a while ago. He is interceding for you and I. You have a trial? Do you realize that Jesus is sitting there at the right hand of God praying for you, interceding for you? That's what the scripture says. He does that at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. He's seated at the right hand of God. There's about six scriptures that say that in Paul's epistles. So, I want us to turn in closing here to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Read about the things of the Lord at home. More, you'll get more things. Let's read verse 42 of chapter 24. Now, this chapter is where Jesus tells about his coming back again. And he talks about how we need to be watching and praying and ready for him to come again. And this is what he says here in this verse. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now, for him to tell us to watch, he's not talking about our natural eyes. He's talking about the spiritual, our vision as far as the things of the Lord is concerned, to be ready and watchful because Jesus Christ is going to come back again. He says, be you also ready, in verse 44, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He's going to come. And I believe it so soon. I just praise him for the way that he speaks to our hearts and tells us, like it says, it is high time to awake out of our sleep. That's what the scripture says. If you're a person who's sleeping today as far as the things of God, you need to wake up. Because Jesus Christ is going to come at any time. Yes. Be ready for his coming. Hallelujah.